From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
Welcome to School Talks. With schools underway this past week, we have a great lineup for you, including Gary Collins from Collins and Blaha Law, one of School Talks' primary sponsors. We'll also be joined by Superintendent Ron Roberts from Chippewa Valley Schools and a student from Sterling Heights High School, Kyle Bailey. All this and more coming up as we talk cell phones in schools. This is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program is attorney Gary Collins from Collins and Blaha Law, one of School Talks' primary sponsors. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy.
So with school underway, most schools started last week, some are starting this week, and I think it's a really important time for us to stop and have a really good overview and understanding of the cell phone ban legislation that's currently sort of hanging out there legislatively. And I, knowing your work with policy and law, I thought you'd be a great person to help our listeners understand not only what it is and more importantly where it stands. So with that in mind, can you give us a quick overview of the current rules around student cell phone use in Michigan schools?
Sure. It varies from school district to school district. Some school districts are fairly restrictive. Others have no rules. There is no statewide policy or statewide law on it at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. So, and I understand there was a House Bill 4141 that was actually defeated in July. And that bill was supposed to do something about cell phones. And exactly would that bill, what would it have required, and how did it spark sort of the current debate? What's your thoughts?
Sure. The House bill was fairly restrictive, and it would have said that there would not be phones in elementary for middle school students, and you couldn't use it during class time for high school students. There were exemptions for medical necessity, emergency situations of that type. The teachers could make their own decisions on it. Unfortunately, bills that relate to policy right now are being held up because of the debate over the budget. Mm-hmm. And so they're not passing anything till they can pass the budget.
So for our School Talks listeners, if you're not aware, the state has yet to agree on a budget, part of which, a substantial part of which, funds schools. And this particular cell phone legislation is sort of caught up in that process. Mm-hmm. Gary, I understand there's a Senate bill, I think it's 234, that's also on the table, sort of related to this. And how does it differ from this other bill about cell phones?
The Senate bill would require school districts to have a bill, but would leave the nature of the bill up to the school district. And trying to allow for different districts, different areas of the state that would want to have differences in what they would do. It would still allow, if they wanted to, the districts to ban cell phones, but provide exemptions for emergencies, medical, those type of accommodations.
And, you know, the way you frame that, that's kind of what we have now, at least in a sense, given school districts are municipal corporations, and we're a home rule state, and they really, at least through this lens, can make any policy decision that best fits their community. Is that fair?
That's fair. It's really a local control issue. The difference would be mandating a school district to have a policy.
I see. And speaking of local control, why do you think some school groups are pushing for this statewide mandate where others sort of insist that let us decide? Yeah. What do you think?
It's a reaction to the broad usage of cell phone usage in classrooms that is very distracting, and it can be very distracting in the school. And so some people believe we really need to have a very draconian approach to it of one size fits all. Other people believe it needs to be more of a local control issue. The issue of cell phone usage in classrooms, though, is an extreme issue. It's very distracting, and it's very difficult for faculty to try to teach when kids have a cell phone there that's a lot more interesting than what they're looking at.
You raise a great point about the idea of it being distracting. An analogy I like to use, we're currently chatting with Gary Collins from Collins and Blaha Law about the pending cell phone legislation that's sort of sitting on the table in Lansing. But one of the things that I learned in my time as superintendent that cell phones do is children come to school. They may have interactions with other students, maybe some cyberbullying, teasing, whatnot. And before cell phones, when you got into it with kids at school, it stayed there when you went mm-hmm. home mm-hmm. more often than not. Whereas cell phones are on 24 hours a day, and that whole cycle of interaction is 24 hours a day. And I don't think children are wired for that in a way that lets them get away from it and actually focus maybe on homework or something else. And it really makes me appreciate why some people feel like we need to mandate this statewide in order to have a big enough sort of hammer to enforce this across the state. But the opposite argument is equally as debatable as well, if I could. So let me ask you, and in that, as I said, in that one size fits all approach, how fair is the criticism? And do you think a uniform standard rule can ever fit all districts?
It would be very, very difficult. The underlying issue is, if anyone's been at a family dinner, you frequently have to tell the young people, please put away your cell phones and talk to other people. And I know, at least in my extended family, we have to have boundaries to enforce it across different family units, because we want the kids to interact. The one size fits all, I understand the push for it, but it really doesn't recognize the geographic diversity and the diversity that we have in our local school districts. There's huge differences between districts statewide, and so it would be hard to have one size fits all for every school district.
Now, when you think about, I think it's almost half of the student population in Michigan is in Southeast Michigan.
Correct.
It gets pretty sparse out in other parts of the state, just as a way to exemplify your point about the diversity. I know in my career in education, cell phones, computers, and whatnot have certainly been a tool for learning. And any experience you have or evidence that we all have about the impact of phones on student achievement and, more importantly, on mental health?
I haven't seen any study relative to student achievement. The impact on mental health is you have privacy issues. You have issues that disputes between a couple of students that used to be very private and limited to a few students now can be broadcast over a wide audience and can be put out of proportion. And you could have people engaging in behavior that they don't want recorded for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. And so it does impact mental health. I mean, that's pretty clear.
And your point really demonstrates just how prevalent cell phones are in our culture completely.
Correct.
I mean, you could pretty much live your whole life on your cell phone as it relates to, you know, shopping, paying bills, etc. I'd like to take a short break. I want to talk to you a little bit more about what happens in other states and maybe what a statewide ban would mean for Michigan. So if you'll stay with me, this is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Welcome back to School Talks. We're currently chatting with Gary Collins from Collins and Blaha Law, one of School Talks' primary sponsors. We sincerely appreciate the continued support, and more importantly, or of equal importance, we appreciate your expertise in school law. We're talking today about the pending legislation around whether cell phones should be banned in school or not, and what the implications are across a number of areas, whether it's access, geography, and so on. And Gary, Michigan is certainly not alone in this discussion. I know states like Florida, New York, and some others have passed statewide bans. Any thought on what lessons, positive or negative, Michigan can learn from these states?
I think the advantage of our having a variety of states to pick from lets us take a look at what do we think is going to work in Michigan. New York has a bell-to-bell exam. I don't see a bell-to-bell exam working in Michigan, given the diversity of the geography that we have. If you look at Georgia, they're looking at K through 8. Won't take effect till next year. And then if you look at Florida, they're looking at elementary and middle schools with high school restricted. Some type of policy that allows the local geographic areas to make their own rules would be very, very helpful.
And, you know, I'm aware some states have incentives or they have those lockable phone bags. I once saw a comedian in concert who was recording his show for the purposes of a Netflix special, and cell phones were not allowed, but they didn't obviously want to police taking them away or whatever, and they put them in these lockable bags. And I know some school districts in Michigan have begun to experiment with a lockable bag where you can keep it, but you can't access it. And, you know, some states are offering this. Do you think those kinds of approaches would work better in Michigan?
What you have to think of sometimes is the solution is worse than the problem. And if you're trying to give lockable bags to students or lockable bags to faculty to lock up telephones, you're making the solution worse than the problem.
We thought it was tough enough to have children wear a mask during the pandemic, let alone have their phone in a lockable bag.
Correct.
Interesting stuff. So on the legislative front, we, you know, we've talked about both bills include exemptions, as you said, for medical needs or emergencies. Do schools generally find those kinds of exceptions workable in sort of practice or in real life?
Very much so. If you have a medical emergency or a medical need, you have fragile students, medically fragile students, who need access to a telephone, need access to be able to text their medical condition, their medical status to other people around. In emergencies, you want to have access to telephones so parents know what is happening in the schools, and that's very, very workable. What you're trying to stop, though, is the disruption in a classroom of having a teacher compete with the rest of the world on a telephone right in front of them. That's unfair competition.
Yeah, you know, I had a parent once. Her child was going into sixth grade from elementary school, and she asked me, "Dr. Livernoy, my daughter's going into middle school, and I'm on the fence about whether I should give her a cell phone." And I told her, having raised three daughters, I said, "Well, whether you give her a phone or not, you need to prepare for this reality, that your child's going to have unbridled access to everything in our world, from violence to intolerance, to pornography, to criticism. And there's a lot of good out there, but you're opening the door to really an unfettered world." And it really sort of drove home for her. She said, "She's never getting a cell phone." I said, "Well, we'll see about that." But it really has driven that whole concept and culture of parents who have those apps on their phone that track their children's every move.
Correct.
I know quite a few students that know how to work around that.
Yeah.
So it's really not it really comes down to your relationship with your child for certain. Any experience you've had with districts that are entertaining a policy, are you working with any districts right now that are pursuing cell phone limitations or bans versus those that are sort of leaving it alone?
Right now, a number of students are looking at it and examining it. They're really trying to wait and see what the statewide policy or law is going to be before they go too far. People recognize that change is going to happen. And while I enjoy going to Mackinac Island, you know, it's very nice. Somehow the idea that you're not going to have motorized vehicles there just doesn't make it. And the same thing that you're not going to have cell phones. You have to have some exemption for cell phone usage.
Sure. Help me understand this. Is there cellular coverage on Mackinac?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yes, there is.
I was up there a few years ago, but I thought my phone worked, that's for sure. You know, one last question for you. Some argue the bigger issue really isn't about banning phones, but teaching students how to use technology responsibly. And do you think sort of the whole universe of education and digital literacy, there could be a better solution than just restriction?
Oh, yes. I mean, we really have to look at encouraging responsibility and accountability in young people for digital usage and how to use it and how we're going to advance with it. It's a topic that our society is struggling with right now, including artificial intelligence. How do we use that?
In the spirit of Johnny Carson, you remember he had that skit, The Great Carnac?
Correct.
Do you care to predict where the legislature may fall? Any thoughts?
Sure. It'll allow for differences between school districts. There are some places where I travel where they tell me, be careful at night because we don't have cell phone usage in certain parts of the county. And so they're going to have differences across the state to take into account our different populations.
And really, that echoes the point of if you ban them outright, you're going to be faced with the repercussions if a
Correct.
Child has a medical emergency
Correct.
On the way home and
Correct.
Any number of things. So
Gary
Collins from Collins and Blaha Law, one of School Talk's primary sponsors, I appreciate the great conversation today and really helping us get a well-rounded understanding of the current situation regarding cell phones. And along with the budget, we'll see how the chips fall here in the coming days at the state level. So I appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Dr. LeRoy.
Coming up after the break, we'll chat with Ron Roberts, Superintendent of Chippewa Valley Schools, about what it means to enforce cell phones at the district level. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program is Chippewa Valley School Superintendent Ron Roberts. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Okay, thanks. Great to be here, Bob.
I appreciate you taking time to chat with us. As anyone connected to public education in Michigan knows, there's been a lot of discussion, proposed legislation, and debate right now over the cell phone policy in schools. Several months ago, the governor made reference to it in one of her speeches that said to some extent we should ban cell phones in schools. And that has led to a pretty, not surprising on one hand, but a pretty interesting debate over what does it mean to ban cell phones in school? Does that mean physically not there, et cetera, or have them turned off and so on? And I know, Chippewa, you've been ahead of the curve on this, and I wanted to give an opportunity for you to share with us, start with, what is your current cell phone policy in the district?
Yeah, our current cell phone policy is, it's really, it's different. K-8 is one set of rules, and that generally is, phones are allowed in school, but they need to be out of sight. So that's K-8. And they're out of sight the entire day. So students might leave them in their backpacks, their lockers. And if they would choose to keep it on their person, it just can't be in sight. So that's K-8. At the high school level, 9-12, the same as during classroom instruction time. Phones must be out of sight. But then between classes and hallways and that, or during the lunchroom, students are allowed to have their phones. So mm-hmm. that's the current policy.
And how does a district ensure this type of policy is followed and used responsibly during school hours?
Well, to begin with, our parents have been very supportive of this, and nationally research shows that parents really support restrictions on cell phones. So parents really are not an issue as far as putting rules in place. So it really goes to a lot of talking, a lot of speaking to the students about this and helping them understand it. What we find is it's less of an issue, K-8, and especially elementary school. And high school, you know, being that they're a little bit older and their phone is a little more important to them by that age, it does take a concerted effort on everyone's part. Teachers have a responsibility in it. They really are the first line of enforcement. So, but again, you try to get the kids to understand what you're doing, and hopefully your instruction is that good that they don't want to get out their phones.
So with respect to this, teachers, do some teachers have permission to have students use their phone in the classroom for part of instruction or no?
Well, it's very limited reasons that they would do that. We have one-to-one computing in our classrooms. What we want kids to do with technology, they can do on their laptops.
I see.
So it's almost everything can be done. There are a few things with phones, but generally, teachers should not have their kids have their phones on.
And, you know, given COVID really forced a lot of districts into one-to-one with kids being
right.
home and so on,
yeah.
and we're given how far away we are from that, one-to-one really, to your point, has neutralized the need for
right.
computers or cell phones in the classroom.
Right.
I remember back when technology first started, everything was in a lab. Yeah. You had to take students to the lab. Yeah. Now it's they're ubiquitous in terms of access.
Computers are with them all the time. They're generally fired up in classrooms. I think maybe to a student, one of the things that might be less appealing about it is it's not quite as fast as their phone. So, or, I like speed.
Or concealable.
That's true. You can't put that in your back pocket.
To that point, do your students take their laptops home or they
stay? No. They take generally at the elementary level, they keep them in a charging bank during the nights. But middle school and high school are likely they carry with them all the time. So
we're currently chatting with Ron Roberts, superintendent of Chippewa Valley Schools, about cell phones in schools. And as I mentioned at the start of this segment, the state is currently debating passing a law that restricts cell phones in schools to some extent. And I'm curious, your current policy, based on what you know about the legislation that's floating out there, do you anticipate needing to make any changes to your policy based on what you've heard in the legislative trenches?
You know, it's hard for people to agree on any one thing, and especially true for politicians. So most states pass laws making it a requirement that schools adopt a policy, as opposed to this is going to be your policy. And I believe only four states in our nation actually are very restrictive in their policy. So we really don't expect that to be an issue. And I understand that most states, there's different circumstances in different localities, and they would allow the local district to set the policy. I think our policy is reasonable. I think it's good for kids. I think it's good for instruction. So hopefully we'll be able to continue it.
Your point really resonates with the idea that one size really doesn't fit all, depending on the district, the size of the district, access to technology, and so on. And so as of right now, you're in a position like many other superintendents, waiting to see how the legislation falls and whether or not you'll have to make any changes. Any thoughts on what you think is going to happen?
Oh boy, I'll tell you, there's a million-dollar question there. you know, right now we don't have a budget for our schools, so we're not really worried about a cell phone policy. And
sure.
And I was saying, I think that they'll come up with something reasonable. It's been the trend across the nation, and I would expect that that's what they would do. And what we're doing is really good for our school district, and I think it's similar to what other districts do who adopt cell phone policies. So I would imagine that this would continue.
I do know this. The fact that it's been brought to this level of awareness is making it, I think, at least easier for school districts to implement something that might on its face be challenged by parents. Because I'm sure when you implemented this policy, you probably heard from some parents that I want to be able to get a hold of my child if something bad happens at school. And any experience with that in particular? And what have you shared with parents who have sort of that anxiety over not being attached to their child?
Yeah, well, that's in research shows that's probably the most valid point that parents make. I mean, that they if something were to happen in school, that they would want to contact their student. They want to be able to do that. But also from our perspective is if something were to happen in a school where we needed our students' attention, we want them paying attention to us because time could be of the essence. So, but parents have been real supportive of it. And that's one of the reasons we allow them to have that on their person and just out of sight, because, you know, that's not a battle we choose to fight.
Right.
I mean, we really appeal to our kids to follow the rules, and we think that's the way we can do it. We think we can be reasonable people and get what we need. So, but, you know, I do want to add here that sometimes when people hear things like this, they think cell phones are something all kids have out in school, have on their desk, they're using it, they're on social media, and that's why we have these policies. And that's really not completely accurate. Most students in our school come there, their cell phones are away, they understand what they should be doing in school, the cell phone should not be out, and they're fine with that. You know, it hasn't become an appendage to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're doing really well with it. I think the kids understand it, and of course, you'll hear from high school students that they would just as soon have their phone because they've grown up with their phone.
Sure.
So you just have to make sure they understand why you're doing what you're doing.
Ron Roberts, superintendent of Chippewa Valley Schools, I appreciate you stopping by. I can always count on you for a straightforward, level-headed look at arguably one of the biggest challenges facing public schools. And as always, keep up the great work in Chippewa, and I appreciate you stopping by School Talks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob.
Now that we have a good understanding of the legal and policy implications of cell phones in schools, coming up after the break, we'll hear from Kyle Bailey, a student at Sterling Heights High School, and what he thinks about the proposed legislation to ban cell phones in schools. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins & Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program is Kyle Bailey, a junior at Sterling Heights High School, up in Sterling Heights, Michigan, the proud class of 2027. Welcome to the program, Kyle.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you joining us. I thought it was really important for this particular show where we're talking about the cell phone legislation that's currently happening in Lansing and whether they should be banned in schools or not. I thought it was really important to get a student's perspective, given you're going to be the one most heavily affected by any law or change that they put in place. And I think as a good place to start, as a student, how do you and your friends and classmates currently use your phone during the school day?
Yeah, so I mainly use my phone for scanning in documents to submit online, or like playing educational games like with the class. Lunches, I'll check social media, respond to text. But yeah, mainly just scanning in documents and submitting stuff online.
Yeah, and when you say scanning documents, is that part of how you submit your schoolwork electronically?
Yeah, so you take a picture of it, turns it into like a PDF, and then
you submit
it through.
Yeah, yeah, and for our School Talks listeners, most school districts use a program called PowerSchool and Schoology, which is an extension of how teachers manage a class and turn in schoolwork. A great analogy would be what used to be a wire basket for older people to turn your work in is now done, not surprisingly, electronically. So as I said, you know, the legislation and the lawmakers in Michigan right now are trying to create stricter limits on student cell phone use. And what's your sort of initial reaction to that as far as banning or restricting them in schools?
Yeah, so I don't think the bans would be the best thing to do, but I definitely think more restrictions and enforcing the no phones is definitely needed. Having something in the classroom where you can put the phones away and focusing more on your classes, I think it's definitely needed.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine in the course of your school day, given the current policy there and in many places, sometimes I would imagine a teacher lets you use the phone as part of your learning. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of flexibility. I also imagine you probably have some teachers who don't want them seen or anywhere near in class to begin with. So it really, there sort of is a balance there. And but would you say that for some students, the phones are a sort of a major distraction for learning?
Yeah, I would say it's a big distraction when students are on their phones and it takes time for the teacher to have to say, oh, put it away, or having to take the phone. It takes away from our class time. But many students don't even pay attention to that, and it just creates a whole situation in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. So without naming any names, let me ask you a question. Do you know any student in your circle of friends or at the school who does not have a cell phone?
I do not. Everyone that I know does have a cell phone.
Yeah, and that brings me to a point with regard to your typical classroom teacher has five classes a day, probably averages 30 students per class. So they're coming in contact with 150 students, and to your point, all of whom have cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot to contend with if, in fact, they're having to remind them to put them away or whatnot. And on the same hand, they're very helpful if the teacher needs students to use them for the purposes of learning in class. Let me shift gears for you. We're currently with Kyle Bailey, a student at Sterling Heights High School, talking about the pending cell phone legislation that is on the table and under some pretty significant debate in Lansing. And Kyle, let me ask you, many students use cell phones to communicate with their parents, especially for after-school things or a ride home from school. How important is that function to you and your friends?
Yeah, so I'm a junior, so I can drive. But as a freshman and sophomore, I was definitely having to text for when I needed a ride home. Or if a sport got canceled, I would have to text during the day. So I made sure I got a ride home. But it's really important to have that communication. And with doing stuff after school and having clubs, it's good to be able to contact your parents after school.
For sure. And, you know, I will not name names, but at one time when cell phones became popular many years ago, one of my daughters, who will remain nameless, texted me during the school day, and I didn't respond. And that night she came home and said, "Hey, you didn't respond to my text." And I said, "Hey, did you forget I'm the superintendent? And we have this new red, yellow, green light policy," just to show you how that plays with parents. So so let me ask you, do you think the teachers at your school do a good job managing cell phone use in the classroom?
Yeah, I think it definitely varies from classroom to classroom. But most teachers either have like a pocket system where you have to put your phones up when you come to the classroom, or right when they see it, they shut it down and they... You know, they tell you to put your phone away or they'll just take it for the hour. But most teachers do definitely enforce the rules of no phones.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask, if a statewide ban comes in where schools are banned completely from schools, how do you think that would change the school environment, for better or for worse?
I think academically, for the better. It'll definitely let us focus on our homework and our notes and everything. Socially, I think it'll let us be more interactive with other students and have better interactions with basically everything socially.
Mm-hmm. You know, you bring up a point with regard to learning, per se. Many proponents of not having a cell phone policy see the enforcement of it in school as a teachable moment for students, just like you're, you know, supposed to wear a seatbelt when you drive and any number of other rules and regulations. And some would argue that the bigger issue really isn't banning phones, but teaching students to use technology responsibly. What do you think of that?
Yeah, so I grew up in a family where there was no phones at the dinner table, and we have restrictions, like hourly restrictions. And so I respect the phone rules, and I know how to responsibly use my phone, when to use it, how to use it. But I think many students, they didn't grow up with that. And when they have their phone, it's like, okay, I need to be on my phone. And so I think if students learn when the right time to be on their phone is, it'll definitely have a positive impact.
Any of your friends are in school talking about what's happening about cell phone bans right now? Is that sort of a buzz in school?
For some students, it is. I think many students are either not paying attention to it, or they don't like the phone ban. They're not agreeing with it because many students are addicted to their phones, and it's hard to say that they won't be able to be on their phones for mm-hmm. the whole day.
And addiction is the right word, because everyone's on them all the time, and it really is a factor, not only in school, but our culture as well. Kyle Bailey from Sterling Heights High School, I sincerely appreciate you stopping by and giving us what I think is a really important perspective from a student who would be affected by any type of cell phone ban or restriction. So I appreciate your time. Keep up the great work, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
An important feature of today's show is I tried to give you a perspective on cell phones from the legal and policy perspectives, but also from the perspective of a student in high school. I can't find anyone I know who doesn't own a cell phone. And because of that, they're prevalent everywhere in our society. We use them for everything from shopping to making medical appointments to texting family and friends. They really and truly are everywhere. And the idea of just simply banning them in school, I think, is a bit short-sighted, because it doesn't address the root of the problem, and that is the behavior of the children in school who, for some, are using them inappropriately, whether it's cyberbullying, not paying attention in class, or what have you. any adult you talk to nowadays might be inclined to say to you that children don't have respect for adults like they used to. And while I think every generation has its own set of problems, I think that cell phones provide a unique opportunity for students because it connects them with the entire world. And think about when I was a kid, my world was very small compared to what a child's life is like today. Rode my bike maybe 4 or 5 city blocks. I think we eventually got cable television when I was in high school. Nowhere near cell phones. And the world was pretty small. But nowadays, with 24 hours a day access to cell phones and sort of the constant connection between people, I think really affects children during their developmental stage. And another really important factor, and it's one in my experience as a superintendent has been difficult to talk about, and that is how children have over time gained more and more power in their family structure, or more power in their home, so to speak. And you know, at first it looks harmless. A child might demand to choose when they want to eat dinner. They might want to insist on going to bed when they want to. And over time, their preferences really seem to come first in the family structure. Why parents do this? You could pick your reasons, whether parents who might be working feel guilty they don't spend enough time with their children. Could it be peer pressure from all the external forces that are put upon children through technology? You pick the reason, but really and truly, children have gained way too much power in the family structure. And given the fact that they're still learning, they're figuring out their emotions, their impulses, right from wrong, and giving them too much control actually creates and helps, I shouldn't say help, it really enhances or brings about more and more anxiety as they grow more and more entitled. And when they grow entitled, they grow resentful because they think that they should be able to control certain things and so on. And this isn't meant to take a deep psychological dive into this, but when you think about all the other rules that children are expected to follow in schools, you know, be on class on time when the bell rings, do your homework, come to class prepared, you could look at cell phones through that lens as one more thing that they're going to follow in school, depending on the rules. And that really connects back to my point about how much power children have gained in their family structure and how that sort of trickles over into the school setting. And without question, the cell phone legislation that's pending in Lansing is not an easy one and really isn't a quick fix, whether they pass a total ban or some variation of it. And I want to thank our guests today, Gary Collins, Ron Roberts, and Kyle Bailey, for some really insightful conversation about cell phones in schools and what it means if we make a decision one way or the other. That's all the time we have for today, but remember, there are 2 ways to spell 1 and 3 ways to spell 2. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.